Good morning. Today's daf in Ksuvos Ayin Daled. We're 9 Gimel Amud Beis. We're going to be starting today with Eisvei, but that is only a little bit helpful. There are a number of Eisveis on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. We're going to be starting with the Eisvei. It's about a dozen lines from the bottom of the Amud. Less than that. It's Harini Bo Alech Amanas. Okay. We are in the middle of a somewhat complicated discussion, but overall, though, the general discussion has been revolving on the idea of in Adam Ose Bilos Nostam. When a man has relations with a woman, so what he's looking to do is to achieve the most Kedusha. And it's not just so much a function of Kedusha, but basically whatever could possibly achieve, that's what he's looking to achieve with it. That means to say that, let's say, for example, he's married to his wife, but they're only married at a certain level. So is that Bia now going to, if possible, even further advance the degree of marriage? So let's say they're married only midrabanan. I'll give a simple example. One of the examples that we talked about yesterday, where she is nesui ketana. She's married on a derabanan level. She was married by either her mother or her brother. And now she's living with this man. The marriage is only midrabanan. And then she becomes an adult and they have Bia. So when they have Bia, after she becomes an adult, does that automatically upgrade the marriage to a Nisuin Daraisa? So as we learned yesterday, according to Rav, the answer is yes, it does. It automatically upgrades her. Why? Because in Adam Osa Bilas Bilas Nos. Because when a person has Bia, so what he's looking to do is to maximize the Bia in terms of what it could accomplish vis-a-vis, in this particular case, now making them husband and wife mid-Daraisa. Okay? Shmuel's of the position that Adam Osa Bilas Bilas Nos. But as we pointed out yesterday, Shmuel's position is not as crass as it comes out. In other words, a person's not, it's not the pshat for Shmuel that a person's going to make his bia into a bias nus. The pshat is that when a person has bia, he doesn't have any extra kavana when having that bia. And even though the bia could go ahead and further and advance the relationship, according to Shmuel, that's not what he has in mind. Okay, that's the machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. And what we did yesterday, that's the easy part of yesterday's daf. And then what we did yesterday is we, at least a later Amoraim, try to qualify this machlokus of Rav and Shmuel. And what we're in the middle of discussing right now is a qualification of Rabbah. Rabbah yesterday, it took a couple of rounds to get our heads wrapped around what exactly Rabbah was trying to say, but what he ended up saying, and this you can find right in the middle of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. So, Eli, Itmar Hachi, Itmar, this is just a review. I'm not reading inside, although I am reading inside. But this is just a review. So, Machlok is Batos Isha Achas. Ke'in Shei Nashim Ava, Batos Isha Achas. Great us, the Divrei HaKol, and it's Rich HaYemen Aget. So, if there's only one woman involved, and there's only one round of marriage, so, and what was the case? The case was where he was Mekadosh Al Tanai. Conditionally, he married her with the first stage of marriage, Kedushin. And then what happens is that he has Nisuin with her. And of course, Nisuin involves Bia. And then the question becomes that when he had the Bia with her, so what does that do vis-a-vis the Tanai that was originally made? So what we said is that's a machlok between Rav and Shmuel. So according to Rav, in Adam Ose Bilas Bilas Nos, the Bia must mean something. And so therefore, the pshat that we said yesterday is that what it means is that now they're married, right? And this got a little bit complicated yesterday because how was the marriage affected? It was affected through the act of Bia. Anyway, according to Rav, let's try to keep this as simple as possible. According to Rav, the Bia must mean something, and they're married. And according to Shmuel, no, the Bia doesn't mean anything per se. And he married Al Tanai. She wasn't Mekayim the Tanai. They're not married. Good. That was the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And now what Rabbah is trying to suggest is that if it's a straightforward case, there's no debate. In other words, the marriage is not going to, and the Bia is not going to affect a new Kedushin. The debate is only going to be in a much more complicated scenario where he married Al Tanai, he then divorced her, he then remarried her and without a Tanai, and then they had Bia. Only in that case over there, where there was a round two of marriage, then and only then are we going to have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. That is what Rabbah is trying to suggest. And that's where we are right now. We're in the middle of this suggestion of Rabbah, and effectively what the Gemara is going to do. It already has done it, but it's going to do it a couple more times. And that is, it's going to really challenge as to whether or not this limitation of the machlokes in Rav and Shmuel, as presented by Rabbah, is it supportable limitation or is it not? Is Rabbah right or is Rabbah not right? That's what we're trying to ascertain right now. And so, Eisvei. So we are now continuing in the Gemara. We're quoting a Braisa. So I'm going to marry you, but only on the condition that your father is agreeable to it. So, right, right, you're right, his father. All right, that's absolutely accurate. So, only if the father's agreeable to it. So, Alpha Pishalaratza of Mekudesh. So, according to the Tanakhama, the Kedushin's valid. And Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Ratzav, Mekudesh, so Ratzav, and Mekudesh. And the second position of the Bryce says, no, it's totally. It's, in other words, he attached it to Nai. And so, therefore, if dad's agreeable, great. And if dad's not agreeable, so then it's not a Kedushin. Now, over here, right, this is not exactly our case over here, but still, if we're going to make a comparable, which the Gemara now is doing, it's certainly comparable to the case of one woman, one round of marriage, and yet we find that there's a machlokas. So the Gemara says, "Hasam na." The Gemara says, "Over there, no." Behakamiflegi, Mar Savra Amanashi Yirtzah Av Amanashi Yishtoka Av Vashasigle. So the Gemara says, "No." The debate over there is revolving around another issue, meaning not our issue, but another issue, and that is the correct interpretation of the Tanai. Meaning, I said shiir tzav. What did I mean shiir tzav? Okay, so in other words, what does approval look like? Okay, so much like we could debate that issue right now in the room, the Gemara says that's what the Tanaim are debating. So what does approval look like? So according to one position, that's the Tanakama amenas shiir tzav amenas yishtokav v'hashosikle. Approval just simply means that he doesn't say anything. We walked into the house. No, we got married. We were hoping that you would approve, and he doesn't say anything. Good, that's approval. And then Mar Savar, no, Amenashi Yomer Ab Hain, V'Halo Amar Lav Hain. And the other position is, no, I'll tell you what approval looks like. Approval looks like when we go in and we announce that we are married, so dad says, good, I like her. I approve. Right, Mazel Tov. Okay, that's what they're debating about. So they're not debating our issue regarding whether or not the Bia is going to override the Tanai, not going to override the Tanai. That's not the issue at all. Okay, the Gemara says, fine. We're going to be now Eisvei. We're going to be asking again. And this is another attack on Rabbah. And this is based on a Braisa. So, Modim Chacham L'Rabbi Elazar B'Ktana Shiyasi Aviha. Okay, there's background over here. This takes us back to the Gemara Yevamos. We're not going to go through the background right now. We'll just simply take it up wherever we're picking it up right now in the Braisa. And that is the Chacham Emigrid Rabbi Elazar B'Ktana Shiyasi Aviha, where the father married off her daughter, Viniz Karsha, and then she got a divorce, and now she is Yisoma B'Chayav. So she is what's called a legal orphan, meaning biologically her father's still alive, but because the father already married her off and now she's divorced, so she is halachically independent of her father. So this is the category of Yisoma B'Chayav. So we discussed this back in Yevamos on a number of occasions. Okay, good. And now Vehechzira. So that now what happens is that the husband remarries her. And Shecholetz is Velamas Yabemis. Now, after having remarried her, now what happens is that he dies. And now she becomes eligible for the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay. Needless to say, this is a complicated case. Okay, now she becomes eligible for Yibum. So what's the halacha? Okay, now, the reason why she's going to be doing chalitza and not yibum is because of the following halachic consideration. And that is that once she gets divorced, so that divorce is a bona fide divorce. Good. Now she gets remarried. She's getting married now, remarried, not as a full-fledged remarriage. Her second nisuin with this man is not going to be mid araisa. Why? Very simple. Because she's a katana. But there's a father and he's alive. Yes, biologically he's alive. Halachically he's not there. And so therefore she is a katana getting married without dad's input, without dad's halachic authority. And so therefore now her marriage, even though I know this is complicated, even though she was married to this man once before, and even though their first round of marriage, that was an nisuin da araisa, but because of the halachic consideration that she got a divorce, and now she's remarried to this man, and she's married as a katana, and she's the yisoma b'chayahav, and I know that's a mouthful. So now that she's remarried to this man, her marriage now is a dimma da rabbanan, and now what? And now there is a yibum consideration. Well, you have to look at what she is right now. On one hand, she was married, mid-rabbanan. She was divorced, mid-araisa. So because of those considerations, so therefore chalitza is going to be the solution. Now over here we're going to qualify. And that's this case that we just described is only when she got a divorce as a minor and remarried as a minor. So however, so if let's say that she got remarried to the same man, and now either she got remarried as an adult, alternatively, and this is a part now that we're hearing, alternatively she got married as a minor, but now she became an adult with him. And after having become an adult with him, they then had bia. Now the marriage upgrades. And how does the marriage upgrade? Now it's the nisuin d'oraisa. That bia post-godless now creates a nisuin d'oraisa. So now, and now if he dies, and now she becomes yibum eligible, now you could do yibum. Now you could do the mitzvah of yibum. Okay, good. So that is the braisa in the Gemara in Yevamos. And Mishum Rebbe Lazar Amru Choletzes V'Lamis Yabemis. So, and they say, Bishem Rebbe Lazar, no, Chalitza not Yibam. Now, the reason behind the Sheet of Rebbe Lazar is because the marriage never upgrades. In other words, even though she becomes a Gedola with him, and even if they have relations post-godless, it doesn't become an Nisuin D'Oraisa. V'Acha D'Chetos Isha Achaz Dame Upligi. So once again, the machlokus over here is all a predicate of whether or not Adam osa bilasa bilasnos or ein Adam osa bilasa bilasnos. So that part's easy. Now this is comparable to the case of one woman one round or two women two rounds. So this is much more comparable to the case of one woman one round. So and yet we have a machlokus over here. So again, Rabba wanted to say that if it's one woman and one round, there's no machlokas. And meanwhile, here's another piece of evidence that there's a machlokas here as well. So Hasanam, the Gemara says, nah, there as well. V'hakimifli, marsav adam edeshen, kedushin ketana klum, gamar ubal hashem kedushin, marsav ein adam yodea shen, kedushin ketana klum, so v'chikabal adayt, the kedushin rishon kabal. So the Gemara says, no. Once again, the issue is not going to be revolving around whether Adam osa bilas nos or ein Adam osa bilas nos. Truth of the matter is that a person when having bia would like to maximize its accomplishment. Ein Adam osa bilas nos. That is the underlying assumption of both positions. So then, what are they arguing about? They're arguing about whether people understand Kedusha Katana. Do people understand Kedusha Katana or people do not understand Kedusha Katana? Look, it's a complicated issue. Ask a man in the street, right? Do you know about Kedusha Katana? Right? Even some with a basic education do not know about Kedusha Katana. It's a really subtle point. And that's the only machlokas over there. So if people generally know about Kedusha Katana, so then they understand that she becomes a gedola. So he has to now have more kavana when having relations with her once she becomes a gedola. But you're only going to have the kavana if you know that there's an issue of Kedusha Katana. If you don't know about the issue of Kedusha Katana, so then you're not going to have the kavana. That's it. That's the issue that revolves in that particular case. Okay, so that was a lot of discussion, both between yesterday and today, right? Rabba, who's limiting the machlokas in Rav and Shmuel, the only time that they're having machlokas is when it's one woman, but two rounds of marriage, then and only then there's a machlokas. So, but meanwhile, we quoted Mishnah Braisa. We quoted numerous different sources, Tanaitic sources, that would seem to indicate that the machlokas is even when it's one woman and one round of marriage. Okay, and what the Gemara has done successfully, and this is where the Gemara really shines and excels, is that it defended Rabba, despite the fact that there seems to be a lot of evidence going against his position. Itmar Nami, Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Amar Rav Yochanan Mekadesh Al Tanai, Uba'al, Divrei HaKolein Tzricha Heimenu Get. Rav Yochanan is also going to be in agreement. Rav Yochanan is going to be in full agreement with what seems to be the position of Shmuel, and that is that in the event that a man has married a woman Al Tanai and then had bia with her, so no gets required. Aye, but he had bia with her? Okay. But he didn't have any kavana when he had bia with her. So this is the position of Rav Yochanan. So now, basically, same discussion as yesterday, but all we're doing now is moving the discussion from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Right? Yesterday's daf, we had the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And then the subsequent additional points of Abaye and Rabba. Okay, good. That was yesterday. So in today's daf, we're going to have the same discussion, but now we're moving it over to Eretz Yisrael, and now we had Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan says like Shmuel. In other words, alternatively, it could be, and that's what you see in the bracket of words Divrei Hakol, it could be that Rav Yochanan is saying that Rav and Shmuel would agree in this case. Okay. Right, and then it becomes a historical question of, is Rav Yochanan going to be commenting and qualifying machlokes in between Rav and Shmuel, because they were pretty much in the same generation. Regardless, okay, the point is, we can try to keep this as simple as possible, because this is a complicated issue. The point is that according to Rav Yochanan, so if you married her al-Tanai, meaning the Kiddushin was done al-Tanai, and then afterwards you went to the second stage of marriage and you had Bia with her, so is that Bia going to have any kind of legal significance? Rav Yochanan says no. Okay, look, keep it nice and simple. And because you were Mekadosh al-Tanai, now what? So now, the Tanai wasn't fulfilled, marriage is nothing. Ah, you had Bia with her? Okay, it doesn't add anything to the discussion. Eisvei, Rav Acha, Bered Rav Ika, Bar Achtei. So the nephew of Rav Yochanan, I'm sorry, the nephew of Rav Acha, the nephew of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Okay, I'm sorry. So as the challenge is based on the following. First of all, we'll start with a brisa. The brisa says chalitza mutash kshera. So if you have a chalitza, we did this back in Yavamos. So if you have a chalitza, but it was done under a false understanding. Okay? So such a chalitza would be a valid chalitza. So ezvi chalitza mu'etes. I'm sorry, mutas. So the Gemara says, okay, good. Give me an example. What does that mean? So Reish Lakish is going to have an extreme version of what that means. Am Reish Lakish kosher amar lo chalos la v'kachet akonsa. So as far as the man is concerned, he's totally interested in doing yibum and only yibum. As far as she's concerned, she only wants chalitza. So according to Reish Lakish, here's what you could do. And I know this is going to sound like a lot, but here's what you could do. You could go over to the man and say, look, you want to marry her? Here's what you do. What's it called? She'll take off your shoe. All right. You'll spit in the shoe. I'm sorry. She'll spit. And the two of you will read some psukim together. Ah, and with that, you're going to do yibum. Now, of course, we're misleading him, right? It's the opposite. It has the opposite effect. According to Reish Lakish, even though his intention was all this is going to facilitate Yibum, he doesn't know any better. He's just going to be following instructions. So even though he thinks that this is going to accomplish Yibum, according to Reish Lakish, this is a valid Chalitza. Even though we totally misguided him. And he thinks it's the opposite. Okay. Now, in terms of the ethics and morals of all this, I understand it doesn't seem ethical. It doesn't seem like we're doing right by this. Okay, but all right, let's leave it at that. Okay, so I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, you have to be kidding me. In other words, and he's not even dealing with the ethics right now. What he's dealing with is, you're not right. Halachically, you're not right. Anisha na bein shen niskavenu v'lo niskavenhi. Bein shen niskavenhi v'lo niskavenhu. Chalitzasa psula achi niskavenu shneihem. In order for chalitza to work, you need kavana. On both of their parts, and v'at amart chalitzasa kshera, and you, Reish Lakish, will tell me that in the event that you tell him, hey, you do all the actions of chalitza, and that's how you're going to marry her, and you're telling me that that's a valid chalitza, it can't be. So Elam Rav Yochanan. So okay. So fine. So Rav Yochanan clearly argues with Reish Lakish. Check. Simple question. What's Rav Yochanan going to do with the Braisa? The Braisa says that a chalitza mutas is kshera. Obviously, he has to give meaning to that Braisa. So kol she'omer lo chalosa amenashitit lemasaimzos. So the Gemara says it's very simple. In other words, we say to him, look, I know you're not excited about the idea of chalitza. Do the following. Do chalitza. In other words, with the full understanding of what chalitza is, but with the stipulation that you'll get money, you'll get paid, and through that payment, so you will, so we'll just simply attach a rider, we'll attach a condition to the chalitza that you'll perform the chalitza and you'll get paid.
But I mean, are they telling him that with chalitza you're basically giving up on her, so that he knows he's giving up on her?
He understands, right? He understands that chalitza is going to sever, and he didn't want it, but at the same time, however, he's going to get compensated. And he does chalitza, and as far as the Tanai is concerned, Nah, you don't have to pay. But you tied a condition to it? I know, that's why it's called a chalitza mutas. That's why it's called a mistaken chalitza. Meaning the mistake is not in the act of chalitza. He understood what that was. The mistake was, is that you also promised money that to come along with it. And meanwhile, you don't have to pay. And even though the condition was not met, the chalitza is still good. Ah. So, Amma came into Avad. Maisa chuleach l'tanai. So the Gemara says, now what happened over here? So what happened over here is that once you do an action, so what the action does is it creates a mechila. So hachinami kevin daba'al achulech tanai. So can we say the same thing over here? Meaning, if we just learn together, meaning now what we have to focus on is Shitas Rav Yochanan. We just learn together that according to Rav Yochanan, so what happens is that a action undoes a condition. That is what Rav Yochanan said as it related to chalitza. So over here, why don't you say the same thing? He married her conditionally, right? Married, I keep saying the word married. I mean the first stage of marriage. Kiddushin. Kiddushin was done conditionally. Then, subsequent to that, he then performed the act of bia with her. So, question. According to Rav Yochanan, if we just learn together that an action undoes a condition, why don't we say the same thing over here? The action should undo the condition. Amalei bar bei Rav. So, Rav Acha bar Yaakov says to his nephew, smart boy. Smart young man, right? A yeshiva bacher. So Shapi Kamar, right? You said very good. I like it. But Michti, Kol Tanai Meich Gamrinan, he says, look, let's go over this idea of attaching conditions. Where is that all generated from? What is the source of this halacha? So I mean, Tanai, B'nei Gad, B'nei Reuven. So Tanai, De Efshel Kiyuma, De Shliach, Ki Hasam, Have Tanai, Tanai. So basically, we have rules behind Tanaim. What are the rules behind Tanaim? If a Tanai can be done al-yidei shliach, so then the condition is going to be binding. If you have an event that cannot be accomplished through a shliach, so then the Tanai is not going to be binding. And effectively, here's what the Gemara is saying. When it comes to chalitza, can chalitza be done through a shliach? No. Now, You want to stomp me? I'll give you, there's so many different easy ways to do so. Okay? Why can't chalitza be done through a shliach? I kind of know the answer. I can formulate the answer, but I don't want to pretend like I really know the answer. Okay? But I could say it factually. Chalitza cannot be done through a shliach. So if chalitza cannot be done through a shliach, then a condition cannot be a binding condition. In other words, there is a relationship between something when something can be done through a shliach, then and only then conditions are binding. But if something cannot be done through a shliach, so then conditions are simply not going to be binding. How do I know? Because I learned it from B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven. So B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven did have a binding condition, right? Remember, I know we all know this, but remember, they went into Eretz Yisrael. And the Shvatim of Gad and Reuven, when they were at Aver HaYarden already with Moshe, Moshe conquered it. The Jewish people conquered it. And when Gad and Reuven got there, they said, you know what? We like to park here, right? This is fantastic. We love it here. We're going to park here. The rest of you go into Eretz Yisrael and you'll conquer Eretz Yisrael and we'll stay here. So Moshe said, here's the story. You'll get the Aver HaYarden, but only on the condition that you come in and you fight together with us. By the way, not only fight with us, but you're going to lead us into battle. And then and only then are you going to be receiving Aver HaYarden. Good. So that is a Tanai. And since that becomes the model of Tanayim, so therefore all the halachas of Tanayim are learned from there. Right? Number of Gemaras give us a number of rules regarding Tanayim. It has to be double stated, positive, negative. The positive has to be stated before the negative. V'chule, v'chule. And there are a lot of rules. So here in our Gemara, we're learning another rule regarding Tanayim. Tanai is only going to be effective and binding only when it can be done ayde shliach. Good. And Tosos over here, the second Tosos, right, a little bit longer in nature. So Tosos over here wonders, like, what becomes features of a Tanai that are modeled from B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven? What are features of a Tanai that are not modeled after B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven? Like, why do we, how do we know which parts to pick out? Okay, it's an important question that happens to be, I mean, every Tosos is important, but it's a fundamental Tosos discussing this particular issue. Anyway, so the Gemara says, now that we're here, we understand. When it comes to chalitza, you attach the condition to chalitza. Chalitza can't be done through a shliach. Right? Why can't be done through a shliach? I can try to formulate, but it doesn't matter. It can't be done through a shliach. So therefore, tonight's not going to be binding. But when it comes to kiddushin, as we all know, kiddushin can be done through a shliach. Right? First Mishnah, the second parak of kiddushin. It can be done through shlichus. Since it can be done through shlichus, so therefore conditions are going to be binding. The Gemara says, so the Gemara says, okay, here's where I'm going to get you. And that is, how do you affect kiddushin? There are three ways to affect kiddushin. Kesef, shtar, and bia. So kesef can be done ayidei shliach. Shtar can be done ayidei shliach. Bia, right? Is it right? Bia cannot be done ayidei shliach. So now, I hear you that kiddushin can be done through shlichus, but of the three ways in which kiddushin can be effected, two of the three ways can be done through shlichus, but not the third way. So what are you going to say over there? So the Gemara says, no. Hasa mishum didka shavayis lahadadeh. Gemara says, okay, you got me, but you didn't get me. And that is that we have a hekesh. The three ways of kiddushin are linked together, and because we have a hekesh and that they're linked together, so therefore, if two of the three ways can be done ayidei shliach shlichus, even though the third way can't be done ayidei shlichus, nevertheless halachically it will behave in the same manner as the other two. And over here, I'm just thinking out loud. I'm wondering, is it a numbers issue? Meaning, if two of them were not done ayidei shlichus, so would they dominate and basically shape the halacha? I'm not sure. Okay, anyway. Amar Rav Ula Bar Abba Amar Ula Amar Rav Elazar Makash B'Milva. Okay, more discussion regarding kedushin al Tanai and the statement of Rav Yochanan. So a person is Makash B'Milva. So Ubal al Tanai Ubal Bepachus Mishav Pruta Ubal Divrei Hakol Tzrichim and Get. Okay, so we have three cases over here in this brisa. So it's not a brisa, it's a memra. Regardless, the case number one is that you're makarish a woman, but through the forgiveness of a loan. Woman owes you money, and probably one of the worst pickup lines in the history of pickup lines, and that is you say to her, look, I'll forgive the loan, but you'll marry me with that forgiveness. So does that work? Meaning, I'm not asking if it's going to work romantically. Is it going to work halachically? So we discussed this back in Kedushin, right? In Mirza Shem, we will be discussing Kedushin. It doesn't work. Meaning, even though she obviously received value, but that's not the kind of value that affects Kedushin. The kind of value that affects Kedushin, you have to give her actual money. So even though she owes you money, and even though you forgave the loan, and obviously, right, forgiveness of debt is value, right? It's pretty popular in the news lately. So forgiveness of debt is value. Nevertheless, it's not going to affect kiddushin. Good. So so it doesn't work. It doesn't work as kiddushin. So now let's say you forgave money as a proposition of kiddushin, and then you'd be with her. So, all right, that's case number one. Case number two, you were mekadesher but with a condition, and then bia. Case number three, you were mekadesher with pachus mishav pruta, and then you had bia with her. So, tzricha heimenu get. So a get is required. Why? So again, after 2 days of this discussion, we all know why. Because the author of this memra, Rebbe Lazar, is of the position, ein adam ose bilas bilas nos. Even though on the kedushin front, it was a fail on the kedushin front for the three reasons we just articulated, but then you had bia with her afterwards. And a person does not want his bia to be for no reason. So therefore, the bia is going to be done with the maximum possible outcome. In this case, kiddushin. So that was Rav's position. And now, as we move to the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael, it's Rebbe Elazar's position as well. I'm Rav Yosef Bar Abba, I'm Rav Menachem, I'm Rabbi Amen, Mekash B'Pachos Meshav Pruto Baal, Tzricha Himenu Get. So Beha Hu Delotai Ava Bahanachtai. So and according to, we'll take it back to its source, according to Rabbi Ami, so if you're Mekash with Pachos Meshav Pruta, so he gave her less money than what is the base minimum requirement, and then afterwards you have Bia, Tzricha Himenu Get, under those circumstances, the get is required. Which means Beha Hu Delotai. In such a case, people don't make mistakes. Meaning, people know that the kedushin is not going to be valid. and therefore the bia is going to be done with the proper intention. But in these other cases that we just outlined, people make mistakes, meaning people don't know, right? In other words, people think that, let's say case number one, debt forgiveness. People think debt forgiveness is value. Again, it is value. That's not open for discussion. But what people don't know is that that value is not going to work for Kiddushin. People don't know that. And since people don't know that, so therefore the bia that occurs afterwards is not going to be assumed to be an intentional bia that's going to create nisuin, or in this case Kiddushin. Amrav kana mishmei de'ula tanai ubal tzricha men aget. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Ula that a man's mekadesh al tanai, he marries a woman conditionally, kiddushin's done conditionally, then he has bia with her. So is a get required? So he says yes. Zehaya ma'isa de'lo hayakoch bechachamim lotzia below get ula fuke haytana. So the he's clearly of the position that a get is required. The Amar of Yehuda Meshmol Meshim Rabbi Shmol Vihilo Nisbasa Asura. Consider now the following. This is a brisa, and Ula, who we just learned together, is against this brisa. Well, let's learn the brisa together, and that is Vihilo Nisbasa. Right, a woman who is with another man other than her husband, but she was violated. So if she was violated, obviously that's called an ones, an anusa, and therefore she's permitted to her husband. However, he lo nispasa, but if she wasn't violated, in other words, it was a willful act of adultery, she becomes asur to her husband, asura. So ha nispasa, so that means to say that if she was violated, so then muter, she'll be muter to her husband. Yeshecha cheres, shafa pishlo nispasa, muteres. There is another case. In other words, by virtue of the fact that the Torah says vihi lo nispasa. So there's going to be a comparable case where she was with another man, And oddly enough, it's not going to be adultery. Now, right? I'll pause for drama. But what is that case? So the Gemara says ve'ezu, ve'ezo, and what is that? Zusha kedusha, kedusha tos. So afilo benam merkava ktefa. So the case would be where it was kedusha tos. In other words, it was done all tonight, and the it turns out now that the tanaim were not fulfilled, and so therefore the kedushin is going to be undone. And even if she has a child that is on her shoulders, meaning that they had bia and they had a child, which is just further evidence that they had bia, so still the marriage is going to just simply be undone. And I know the words on the top of the Amud Beis, mima enes va'olecheslo. Me and over here does not mean what it means, what it normally means. Me and normally means that the marriage is annulled. She's doing the act of annulment. It just simply means that the marriage dissolves, because the marriage was all predicated on a kedushin that was conditional. She agreed to the condition. Condition was not met. So therefore, the marriage just simply unravels. It dissolves. The marriage is expunged. Okay, that's me and over here just simply means the marriage is expunged. Fine. So what comes out over here from that entire lengthy discussion is that we now have just learned the brisa that tells us that Kiddushin Taos is going to be undone. Even though the Kiddushin Taos was followed by Bia, over here clearly was followed by Bia. There's a child in the picture. So clearly there was Bia over here. Okay, but the Bia doesn't mean anything. So the author of this brisa is of the position that Kiddushin Taos, even followed by a Bia, has no significance. And the Gemara says Ula disagrees, right? Ula is of the position that Mekadesh Al Tanai Ubal Tzrichai Men Aget. It gets going to be required. Okay, and we're going to pause over here. The next section of the Gemara is going to take us almost to a new topic. We're not there yet, but really today's daf is a part two of yesterday's daf. Okay, so a man is mekadesh a woman al tanai, and then afterwards kones, and then afterwards he goes to the second stage of marriage, including bia. So is that bia going to be significant? Yes or no? So this has been a 2-day discussion here in Ksuvos. Yesterday's daf Ayin Gimel. So we focused on Rav and Shmuel and their positions. Rav says that the bia is in fact significant, and it's going to effect a kedushin in of itself. Why? Because Rav's of the position that Ein Adam Osa Bilas Bilas Nos. Shmuel disagrees with Rav. Yesterday's daf, going into today's daf, we had a lengthy discussion regarding framing that machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. So Rav was of the position that the machlokus needs to be framed. Okay, what exactly is the framing of the machlokus, and whether or not Rabba's framing of the machlokus is supported by by Mishnayos and Braisos. So that was a good part of today's daf, yesterday's daf, going well into today's daf. Good. And then in today's daf was part two of the same discussion, where Rav Yochanan took the position which sounded a lot like Shmuel's position, that if you have a bia that is that follows a kedushay taos, right? It was done al tanai. The tanai was not mekuyam. So Rav Yochanan says that the bia that occurs is not going to have any effect. That is the sheet of Rav Yochanan, which sounds a lot like Shmuel's position. Again, in the Gemara itself, he's a divrei hakol. It could be that Rav Yochanan feels that Rav and Shmuel are not going to be arguing in that particular case. And then as we continued and finished off today's daf, not exactly, but mostly finished off today's daf, so what we learned together is that this is a machlokus even amongst the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael, and even Rav Yochanan's position needed to be filtered based on other positions that he took. But Ula clearly was of the position, and this seems to be the Gemara's conclusion, that a get is in fact required under such circumstances. Despite the fact that there are some brises that don't accord with this position, Ula certainly is of the position that a bia that followed the Kedusha Taos is in fact going to affect a new Kedushin, and therefore a get is required.